Hello, and welcome to the New to Canada podcast, the show that shares honest, real-life stories and insider info from internationals living in Canada. I am your host, Kate Malcolm, and I made the big move from England to Canada in 2017 after falling in love with a Canadian. Since then, I've launched the Newcomer Collective, home of this podcast, as well as the New to Canada Academy, the step-by-step online video course that guides you through everything you need to build a new life in Canada that you love. You can learn more at thenewcomercollective.com. Join me on this show as I chat with fellow newcomers and learn all about where they are from in the world, why they chose Canada as their new home, and the lessons they've learnt along the way. It's great to have you. Recently, I hosted a live online event, my Moving to Canada Party, and not only was it so much fun to meet you all and get to know you all in person, but it was also packed with so much value. And the more I thought about it, the more crazy it was not to publish it here on the show for you all to experience in case you missed it. So here is the full recording from the Moving to Canada Party. I'm joined by career coach Michelle Ashley, and together we tackle the two biggest areas of struggle that I see newcomers to Canada face again and again. The first is building a career in Canada, the often frustrating job search process, and how to stand out from the crowd of all those other applicants. And the second is the emotional side of the move, how to rebuild a new support network around you and feel more settled and at home here. If you listen to just one episode of this podcast, this is the one. I am so excited to share all of this advice with you. Now, before we jump into the live event, I also wanted to share the special invitation that attendees received on the day. My New to Canada Academy. This is my online video course and international community. Everything I wished I had when I first moved to Canada and was struggling. I didn't know where to go to get honest, real life, trusted insider info, as well as meet others going on the same journey as me. So I wanted to create one place where newcomers can go to access expert advice on pre-arrival preparation, the logistics or life admin of setting up your new life in Canada, a deeper dive into career and social life building, the Canadian culture and lifestyle to expect, as well as the all-important mental wellness support. So inside, there are over 25 videos packed with expert advice from Canadian relocation experts, real estate agents, expat psychologists, and career coaches. You have lifetime access to the lessons from these amazing mentors. I'm also adding a whole module very soon about having a baby in Canada and building your family here. I'll be joined by a Canadian labor and delivery nurse, so that will all be included for you as well. Not only this, you can also then join us inside the New to Canada private community to meet others from around the world who've moved here. Myself and the other mentors host live Q&As, so you're always supported throughout your journey. And you'll receive a free copy in the mail of the Newcomer Collective Journal, so you can document all your immigration adventures and have a 5-year memory book to always be able to look back on. Now, you can grab all of this for $197 Canadian dollars, but if this has caught your interest, make sure you jump to the end of this episode to learn more and get a cheeky limited time discount code as well. I cannot wait to have you join us inside the community and help you build a life in Canada that you love. Let's start the show. Right, that was awesome. Hopefully we've got the party vibes going. This isn't your usual webinars and stuffy events. I want it to be fun for everybody. And, you know, moving to a country is fun. It's an adventure and it's so exciting. And you guys obviously are so brave to have the thought in your head, or you've already made the move. So we want to, to celebrate that. So I wanted to call it a party for that reason, and I'm so happy you came. And yeah, we're here to help you because the internet is an amazing thing. There's thousands and thousands of people that have done it before you, and there's no reason to struggle. I'm so passionate about that. I came here
And I found it so hard, and it took me years to figure out, well, if I actually start, you know, reaching out to other people that have done it and other experts, then it doesn't have to be so difficult. So happy to be helping newcomers come through the door behind me and bring in experts like Michelle, Canadian experts on the ground to make it as easy as possible. So yeah, welcome everybody. So you're in the right place if. Now, I love this slide. I just want to show everyone that, you know, you're going to be looked after in the next hour. And I just want to make sure that you know you're in the right spot. So you're here if you don't feel as confident or prepared for your big move as you'd like. So you're pre-arrival and you're just overwhelmed with everything to do. There's so many unknowns. You don't know what it's going to be like until you get here. And that can be really overwhelming. You don't know the right information or the trusted information to seek out. And if you're like me at the beginning, I just wish that there was one place and one group of people that I could just go to and get all my questions answered. So you're in the right place if that's you. The other category is if you're nervous about rebuilding your career and social life again. That is a huge one. If you read my emails this week, I was talking a lot about this. These are the two areas that I always, always have newcomers say they struggle with the most. Out of absolutely everything else, it's career and social life, because it's just such huge parts of your life, right? So you have to start from scratch. And yeah, that's really tough. So the Canadian job search has a bit of a notorious doom around it. It doesn't have to be that way. That's why we have Michelle. And then obviously meeting new people, even in your home country as an adult, it's tough. So in a new country with different cultural things that are different, it's a real challenge. So we're here to help you. And then finally, maybe you just feel like nothing is falling into place. You've been in Canada for a while, however long that is, and you're just feeling like something's missing. You're struggling with homesickness maybe, and it's just really hard. You didn't expect it to be this hard. And yeah, you're starting to doubt your move. So that's not good. I was there as well. It took me years of feeling that way before I was here and seeking help. So amazing that you're here already. So we're here to help if any of these are you today. Now, I do want to preface this session by just introducing the Academy. I don't just want to save it to the end. I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but I did want to say that at the end, we are going to dive deeper into the Academy that we've built. I wished that I had this when I moved. It is packed with all of the expert videos that I've gathered from relocation experts, career coaches, realtors, psychologists, everything you need really to be happy in Canada and to build a life that's successful and brings you fulfillment. So more details at the end of the call, but I did want to introduce it now because I'm just so excited about it. It's an amazing resource for you as you build your life here. So there is a discount at the end if you stay till the end as well. All right, so let's get your move on the right track. This is what we're going to cover today. We have Michelle, she's going to introduce herself in a minute, but we're going to dive into career. So navigating the Canadian job market, rebuilding that success abroad. Then the topic that I'm really passionate about is the emotional health, the roller coaster that you're going to go through when you move to a new country. It's not spoken about enough. So we're going to talk about that support network, how important it is to feel settled in Canada. And, you know, it's not going to be successful if you don't feel settled. We're going to have that special invitation to the Academy. We're going to dive into the Q&A. So impressed with all of your questions pre-submitted to that page. So thank you so much for those. Lots of people voting for the ones they wanted us to answer. So we'll spend time answering those at the end. And then we'll turn on the cameras and hopefully everyone can start making connections and answering questions live all together. So yeah, that's what you're expected for the next hour. Okay, so I'm just going to let a couple people in. Right, so I'm not going to spend too long, but I just wanted to introduce myself for anyone that doesn't know who I am. I am Kate Malcolm, and I'm a Brit that lives in Canada. I've lived in Canada in Ontario for 7 years now. Can't believe it. I moved here in 2017. I met a Canadian when I was backpacking in Thailand and fell in love with him. We traveled, we lived in Australia, and eventually we had to decide, you know, England or Canada. So I joined his life in Port Perry, Ontario. So it's a little lakefront rural town. So that in itself was a culture shock from London and Hertfordshire, where I'm from. So yeah, I moved here in 2017. So that's me on the left. My first day in Canada. I'm so young. I've got bright red face from the cold, wearing all my mother-in-law's winter clothes because I had no winter clothes with me. And I just had no idea what was in store for me. I just thought it was another adventure. But setting up an actual new life that you think is long term comes with just a few more challenges than just the traveling around the world feels like. So, yeah, on the right, that's me today. And I'm the host of the New to Canada podcast. So I interview internationals that have moved to Canada. We get their stories and their lessons. And it's such an incredible show. We've had 170,000 unique downloads so far as of February 2024. And yeah, I'm loving my career helping newcomers to Canada. So it's been a journey for sure. And we'll dive deep into more of it when we talk about the career. But yeah, I'm definitely happy here now. And yeah, surviving the winters and all the things. So that's me. Michelle, so good to have you here.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Kate and I used to work together before and we used to have these sessions, and I'm just so glad to be here again. So my name is Michelle Ashley. I am a certified career coach. I am a LinkedIn educator. I'm a former recruiter and HR consultant. I absolutely love what I do. I live and breathe everything career. And because I have this passion, it makes me passionate about helping other people find their passion too. I am from Canada. I am first generation Canadian. So that means that my dad came over from Malta over here. So I'm the first generation. And, you know, I've worked with international and expats almost my entire career. And I really resonate with them because I am a fellow traveler. I like to connect and meet other people from other cultures and learn more about, you know, their experiences and everything. So I'm really excited to be helping you get landed here in Canada and figure out your careers.
Amazing. And I always forget the recruiter piece. I think you're such a fabulous coach, but the recruiter piece is so cool as well, because you've been on both ends of it. You can help us find jobs, but you've also been on the end of, you've been actively recruiting people in Canada. You know what recruiters are looking for and employers are looking for. So really cool that you have the both sides of it there.
I like to give that like non-fluff advice. Like, I'm going to tell you exactly how it looks like on the recruiter's end to make it just like easy and understood. I don't want to ever give any extra information that's not needed. Just exactly what happens on the employer's end.
Wonderful. Okay, so let's dive into it then, Michelle. So we're talking about your career in Canada, and you can tell that this is the hottest topic, that most of the questions were about careers and your job search. So what can you tell us straight out of the gate about your career in Canada, rebuilding your career in Canada, what you can expect from the job search?
Well, I will say that job search is tough for everybody, either if they're from Canada or they're coming in, it's tough. But the reason really is because people are going in without understanding themselves, without understanding what exactly the position that they want to be in, and not understanding the role of the employer and really how to market themselves best. So even though you're coming in and it may feel like a struggle right now, it is kind of like a country walking problem, is that there hasn't been education around how to develop your career, how to market yourself, and how to actually job search properly. So we'll go through some ins and outs today, and you're going to be ahead of the game of even domestic people here. So I'm excited to share.
Yeah, exactly. And I also want to say as well that it is a mindset thing. It just sounds so funny, but it's very hard. I'm not doubting that and not denying that. But also I try and spin it that you've moved to a new country, you have a fresh slate, and you can actually be whoever you want to be. And I know that sounds just so woofy-doofy, but it's so true that you can recertify in your field, or you can try something different. You know, everyone has financial obligations and stuff like that. But that aside, you know, this is a really great opportunity to rebrand yourself and start again. And if that's what you do choose to do. But and I just wanted to touch on this photo as well. This is so funny. I really thought I was going to work in Toronto and this high flying career and have cocktails after work. And that's what I came into Canada expecting, because I wanted to perfectly replicate the career that I had in the UK. I worked in a city, I worked in a busy hotel, and I just thought, right, I'm going to be in Canada. I'm going to just find that exact same career. And that just isn't realistic sometimes. Depending on your industry, that job might not exist here, or that industry might be so different or regulated in a different way. So again, it's kind of just educating yourself on that and the differences and what you need. And who you are in Canada. There's so many questions, because that girl in that photo is not me now. I'm like covered in mud in rural Ontario, just working from my laptop. So it could not be more different. So again, yeah, I just wanted to put that picture there, because it's just so funny how different your life can turn out to be. And it doesn't have to be a bad thing. So.
Kate, I wanted to share too that when I was in high school, I always dreamed about working in Toronto as well. And the whole idea was that my best friend and I were going to go down there, and we were going to be a package deal. We wanted to get hired together, and that was like our dream. But the funny thing is, it's like we hear this messaging, right, of like to have the best job, to have the best careers, you have to be in this area, you have to do this certain thing. But once you actually like figure out what's valuable to you, you can have that great career anywhere.
Yes.
But you have to understand what you want.
Yes. And that is not a simple task. You need to spend so much time thinking, right, what are some things that I'm really, really non-negotiable for me? Do I definitely want to work in a city, or do I definitely want to work remote, or do I want to have flexibility to travel, or, you know, start even just making a list of those priorities and non-negotiables, and then go through the list and think, right, is this actually realistic? You know, I can't work in Toronto, because what does that mean for me where I live in Ontario? It's a 3-4 hour commute a day. And I realized that really quickly when I moved to where I was, it just wasn't going to happen. So I had to have that harsh reality of my career is not going to look the same as what I expected it to. I won't be able to do that commute. Maybe the commute is fine and you're happy to do that. So again, it's figuring out what you want. Yeah, it's so important to take that time. And it just might not look like the dream that you enter Canada with, and that's fine. So I did want to just spend a very quick moment on translating your career, because I know a lot of people struggle with this. For example, if you're in the medical industry, you may have to retrain or recertify. And that is so frustrating. You know, maybe you are so high up in the UK and you've done your schooling and you have all this experience. And unfortunately, it's part of moving abroad. It's part of the immigration experience. Maybe you have to retrain and recertify. So there are some resources here that I wanted to share. So the World Education Services, WES, they do the foreign credential assessment. So they help you look at your education that you got from your native country, and they will print a certificate for you that shows the equivalent of what that education translates to in Canada. So that is really valuable if you're struggling to find work and you have this foreign credential that maybe employers don't know what that means. They don't know what that course is or that university is. You can get your certificate from WES and it translates it to the Canadian equivalent. So Google them. They're amazing. We also need that anyway as part of the permanent resident process, depending on what pathway you use. So when I applied for permanent residency in Canada, I needed that WES certificate as part of my application. So you might have to get it regardless, but it's a great thing to get if you're struggling with your job search, just to boost the readability of your credentials, right, in Canada. Bridging programs are amazing. So this is at the school level. So universities, colleges, they actually have these programs that help you transition into the Canadian workplace. So if you're interested in going back to school, having a better pathway to the workplace that way. Obviously, when you join a school, you have a recognizable school on your resume. It's Canadian. They have all these connections and networking events, and you instantly just kind of have a head start by joining an educational institution. And Windmill Micro Lending. So Google these guys as well. They're a charity. And if you're struggling financially to do the above, if you need to recertify and go back to school and do all the things, that's a real financial obligation that you need to, that you probably didn't know you would have to face moving to Canada. So they help you with little micro loans to do just that, to retrain and build your career in Canada. So those are three things I wanted to just provide to you here. I can put links in the chat if you need to, but it's just a quick Google as well. WES, bridging programs, Windmill Micro Lending. Okay, so again, this can get so boring so quick. We're not going to really dive into each of these really, really, really detailed. You know what an interview is, you know what a background check is, but it's just a great visual to see the hiring process in Canada. And maybe it does differ from how it works in your country. So Michelle, maybe just run us through very quickly kind of what to expect throughout the process as a recruiter.
Okay. Awesome. I'll go quick. Okay. So I want to start off with first by saying that on average, a company receives about 250 applications for a single posting. So the employers will use a system called an applicant tracking system, also known as an ATS. And it's a software to help filter through the applications that are going through. So they're able to better manage, you know, the applications are coming through and they can actually reflect on them and decide who they're going to interview. So the ATS will go through all the applications and it's going to look at it against the job posting. And it's going to go through it and look for the keywords that match the job posting. When that posting closes, it's going to rank all those applications from the most amount of keywords to the least amount of keywords. And then the recruiter is going to go through that whole list or most of the list and start to shortlist and identify the three or four people that they might want to interview. In that stage two, they may even do a little bit more digging, like looking at your LinkedIn profile to see, you know, should we interview this person or not? Then, of course, go into interviews. You don't really know how many interviews that you might be getting with a company. It could be one, it could be four. On average, it's usually about two interviews. So the first one could be like a telephone screening, and then the second one would be like either an in-person or a virtual interview. Then they're going to do a background check or check your references. And then at that opportunity, they're going to be offering you a position. And this is where negotiation comes in. And negotiations is a common practice here in Canada once you've received an offer. Once both parties have accepted the offer, so the job seeker says yes, the employer says yes, then we move on to onboarding, which means you'll be starting in the organization and having an understanding more about what the organization is about and being prepared to do your job.
Amazing. So I'm assuming there's going to be some questions about this. If you have any questions, pop them in the chat. But we will do a full Q&A at the end as well. We're going to dive into a couple tips for your resume and for your LinkedIn profile after this slide. But if you have any questions about the hiring process itself, throw them in the chat. Now, I know that this ATS section is probably the most challenging to get through, right? Because once you go through that and then you're shortlisted, then the pool has narrowed down so much. 250 applications. Now, you might think that you're failing your job search because you're not hearing back from employers and, you know, something's wrong with your credentials or your experience. It's not true. It's just the pool of candidates is so large. And also there are so many hidden roles as well. You know, it depends on who you know and if you're going to get referred to a company or if you get promoted from within the company. There are so many other factors involved as well. But the ATS screening and just getting your application in front of a real human is I would say probably the most challenging part. So
I think something important to point out too, because I know there's a few questions around like, I'm applying to these jobs and I'm not hearing anything. Just as a gauge for you as you're going through the process, for every 10 to 27, it is that specific, resumes that you send out, you should be getting one interview. And so if you're not hitting that mark, it's likely something to do with your resume. And that's where we want to kind of dive in deeper to make sure we have a strong resume, because you can see how easy it is to be at that low part of the list, right? If we're not going through and tailoring your resume.
Yeah. And just looking at this hiring process, look how long it is in Canada. That might just look ridiculous to you. That's how it is. It takes a long time. And the time and effort that the recruiters are putting into it as well. If you get to stage two, stage three, stage four, it's amazing that you've gone that far and they've invested all that time in you. So they obviously see some value in you as well. So even if you're going to an interview stage and then not getting it, you know, it's still an achievement as well. So yeah, that's the process.
Really common as far as time frame either. I've seen this hiring process from start to the end, you know, as soon as like a week, but sometimes it could be 2 or 3 months depending on the role. And if you're going for more senior positions, it could take more time to go through.
Yeah, we have a question from Rabbi. I'm not experiencing success in my job hunt unless I'm building relationships with decision makers. So that is networking. We're going to dive into that for sure, because it is very important as part of the hiring process as well. I feel like this screen here is more after you've done your networking and your LinkedIn and all of your things that we're going to talk about very soon. This is kind of when you're really applying for a job that you find, and after that stage. So yes, you're doing the right thing. If you're building relationships with decision makers, that's exactly what we're about to say is important to everyone on this call. So you're doing the right thing. 30 to 40 submissions to get one interview. What do you think about that, Michelle?
Like, it was 10 to 27 is what I was looking at. So I do also wonder how much you're tailoring your resume. It does take time to do. So I feel like the old strategy of finding a job, people will say it's a numbers game. So the more you send out, the more likelihood you're going to get an opportunity to interview. But it really does come to the quality versus the quantity. So take your time to really be tailoring it through. I can go through a few tips if you want to ask at the end. But it really is important to make sure, because like I said, 250 applications, we want to make sure that we're putting our best foot forward, taking that time, even if it takes you, you know, 40 minutes to do, you're going to increase your chances.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's really good timing. So standing out, that is the key word. You know, everyone in the pre-question page was saying, there's, how am I going to hear back? How can I stand out from all of these other applicants? How, you know, there are so many newcomers coming in, especially if you're moving to big cities like Toronto, Vancouver. There's so many internationals that are in the same boat as you with foreign resumes. So how can we stand out, and how can we beat that applicant tracking system? I shouldn't say beat, but like optimize.
Yeah. I honestly could talk about this for like 3 days. So I'm going to give you kind of like cold notes of pieces here and there, but feel free to ask any specific questions. But the first thing is, and I talked about this before, is that when you're doing your job search, you really need to focus on what specific job you're going after. Because if you're applying to this, that, and everything, you're going to have to tailor your resume so many times for so many different ways, and you're going to exhaust yourself, and it's going to be really hard to get very specific on these resumes if you're going for completely different positions over and over and over again. So clearly identify what it is. Take some time to build a really strong master resume. Now, this is not a one-size-fits-all resume, but we want to get all of your information on there. And then we want to condense it to 2 pages, only keeping relevant information for the specific position. But if we have that focus, it's only going to be that much better. And as you're sending out more resumes and get used to tailoring it, it's only going to get stronger and stronger. And without, you know, having to apply to all these different positions, you'll see that it's going to get easier and you're going to get more callbacks. I'd also suggest making sure that you take time to understand what your brand is. And I know this seems very, like, I don't know, out there or more detailed than it is, but essentially, personal branding is just understanding who you are and then being able to communicate that. Because everybody, when I'm looking through resumes, there's so many generic statement resumes. And if I can't really tell from a statement that it's really for a certain person compared to another, like you can say that statement about everybody, that's not going to tell me much about you. And it's going to be more of a forgettable resume. I can say it kind of that way. So we want to make sure that we're taking time to have an understanding of what your values are, what your skills are, what you're passionate about, and kind of infusing that in there. And the more you get to know yourself, the easier it is going to be creating your LinkedIn profile, your resume, your cover letters, because when you know about yourself, the words will just flow a lot more. And I do have a resource that I can send you out afterwards if you need some help with that to get started. But once we start to focus it more and have your brand, it's going to be a lot easier to get noticed. The second part about tailoring your resume. So I know that this is one that's coming up, and I see here in the chat, it's taking you 2 hours. I would say that's a bit long, but as you're getting to learn how to do it, it's going to get less and less and less. But starting off with that master resume is going to help. And then I want you to really focus in on the qualifications. You can use that as like a checklist. So the first thing I would do is, you know, even print out the job posting. And then I'm going to go through each qualification line by line. And so if I already have, maybe the first one's going to say like education. If I already have that on my resume, I'll just put a check. If I go to the next line and I don't have it on my resume, I'll just make a little note that will say, what section on my resume, where can I put it? And what can I write about it? So did I gain this skill from a specific position or did I learn it in school? Make a note of what you can talk about to say that you have that qualification. Then from there is a tool that you can use, and I'm going to write it in the chat. It's called JobScan. So it's almost like an applicant tracking system for job seekers. So you can put your resume in, you can put your the job posting in, and it will give you a score. The score is not something I'm so worried about, but what it will give you afterwards is a report, and it will give you some additional ways that you can tailor your resume. I wouldn't do this every single time, but until you've kind of got used to tailoring your resume, this is kind of like the training wheels of just getting yourself ready to know how to tailor your resume for the position. But it's important to know too, when you are tailoring it, that you want to make sure that you are mirroring the same language that the employer is using. So for example, if it says you need to know how to use Microsoft Excel and you put Microsoft Office Suites, well, people like Kate and I, if we were looking at it, we would know that that's what that means, right? You know how to use Excel, but the ATS is not going to pick up on that. So we want to make sure that we're using exactly the words that they're saying, and kind of changing those words out as well. I have two more points. Are we okay for time, Kate?
Yeah. Oh, please. Yes. This is okay. Good stuff.
Then I'm also going to say list accomplishments on your resume. So when you're listing, you know, the different work experience that you've had, avoid just listing your responsibilities. Essentially, it kind of looks like the job description for the last positions that you've had. Focus on your accomplishments. So how have you added value to an organization? And if there's ever a time that you can add in dollars, numbers, percentages, or timeframes, that's going to be even better, because that's really going to jump out at employers. So when they're reviewing your resume, they can see those, and that can make you stand out to be shortlisted for the interview. The last thing I want to talk about for resumes was personal information. So this is where I see kind of the biggest differences when I look at resumes from people from other countries, is what to include in that top section. So that's kind of your contact card at the top. For a Canadian resume, you only need your name, you need your email, your phone number, preferably a Canadian phone number if you have that. What else? So we need city and province and maybe your LinkedIn profile. We don't need anything more than that. Beyond that, we don't want to give, I know in some countries it might say birth date, it might say parents' names. That is the only information that you need on there. So we want to keep it to those standards. That's it for resumes. I can give you a couple tips on LinkedIn, but I would like to pause it here in case anyone has questions on what I said. I know I just unloaded a ton of information at you.
I love all of that. I think another note about the contact card at the top is that if you're pre-arrival, it's very, very, very important to start your job search pre-arrival if you can. There's no reason to not network online and spruce up your LinkedIn, which is what we'll dive into now. But you know, if you don't have maybe a location, then you can put an estimated arrival time, right? I'm estimated to arrive in Canada at this time. Just make that very clear, because if they see a foreign number or a foreign location, then you may not even have them read the rest of your resume. So that's a really important piece. If you know your arrival approximate time, to add that at the top as well. And even your location approximately, Toronto, Ontario, to put as best as you can at the top. Now, I loved your point about making it more personal and having your character infused into it more. Because I think maybe if you're from the UK, traditionally the resume, I think, is a bit more formal than I would say the Canadian one is. If you're thinking, what's the difference between a UK and a Canadian resume? I found that my resume from England was very stiff, and you kind of list your responsibilities and you keep it very professional. Whereas in Canada, it is a great way to show your personality. I've seen you know, great resumes that make me laugh and that bring in those stories, which I think is a really good keyword for this. You know, what story can you tell on your resume for that job that you had? It's not just, I did this. It's, yeah, what Michelle said. What did you achieve? Was there something you did that you were really proud of that you can write a couple of lines about? Did you win any awards? And, you know, things like that. It's infusing who you are into your resume is really important. Because, yeah, you'll catch the interest of the Canadian recruiter on the other end.
It really is about standing out. And I like to use this example. I had this one job where I had to interview 50 students in one day and do a mock interview. And I asked every student, tell me what your weakness is. And 49 out of 50 students told me their greatest weakness was perfectionism. And so, like, why I always draw in on that is because a lot of times when people are making their resumes or LinkedIn profiles or answering interview questions, they always try to go with the safe bet. What can I say that employers want to hear? Mm-hmm. And what happens is, so they may be doing a Google search and it's like, what should I say? And they all come up with the same Google answer or generic response. And like on the recruiter end, it's like sometimes those days feel so painful because you're like, if I hear this one more time, I'm going to fall asleep. We want to hear something interesting. And I know it feels uncomfortable. It feels uncomfortable even for some Canadians to be doing that too, where you're sharing more of your story. But that's what gets you noticed. That's what gets you remembered by the recruiter is when you're actually infusing in your personality. Share about your experience about coming over here. Like when I look at that too, of thinking that process of figuring out to come over here, the emotional side of it, the like documentation part of it, those are skills in its own and you can use that into your story.
Yeah. And then just one more highlight of the ATS keyword thing, because that's so important. Even before you can even get to a real human, you have to get through that filtration system. And so to make sure you're copying the exact words over, really great advice. And also that's great to prepare for the interview. I always found that, you know, I'm trying to be positive. I'm going to get this interview and I'm going to go through this job description, highlight all those keywords that keep coming up, you know, time management. Oh, they obviously really, really want this person to be good at time management because they've said it 5 times in the job description. How can I really show that skill on my resume or in my cover letter? What story can I tell? And then you're already done. You're already for the interview because when they ask you a question in the interview, you can make sure that you're telling those stories in the interview as well. So yeah, just had someone come up on the chat. Mm.
Yeah. So about cover letter and sharing your story. So I love this question because I have tried so many different strategies with my clients about how to make a cover letter. And it's a tough thing because everyone has different skills as far as writing goes, but I feel like I've nailed the formula that has really made it a lot easier to be standing out and to make a resume a lot or a cover letter a lot quicker. So I start off with having an introduction paragraph explaining, you know, I found this position and I'm excited to work for, or I'm excited to apply to this position because. And then I would start with a statement that says, I would be a great fit for this position because. Then you're going to choose 3 reasons on why you would be a good fit for the role. And honestly, with this one, we're going to go a little bit more woo-woo, and I'm going to say go with your gut feeling. When you are going through that posting and you're reading it through, there's going to be ideas that come in your head that you're like, oh my God, I'd be the perfect person for this because what are those 3 reasons? And I would write them out. So I would bold them as your sections and then tell the story. So each bullet point will have a story. You're not going to get every single qualification in there, and that's okay because that's what your resume is for. But the cover letter is going to give more of a story. So whatever you're feeling like is going to be your 3 major reasons, just list them like that. It's going to be a lot easier because it's going to come across more natural. You're going to see your passion kind of come out while you're writing it. And I find as well, when you're writing that cover letter and you're going from paragraph to paragraph, sometimes even just coming up with those statements to transition into the next paragraph could take a lot of time. And this way we're just bullet pointing, so we don't have to worry about transitioning into the next section.
I love you, Michelle. I knew that the career was going to be the one that we would spend the most time on. That's totally fine, because I know it's the real source of stress. So we're going to dive into networking next. And that's a huge part of it. LinkedIn is such a fantastic tool to make those connections with Canadian professionals and find those people that are working for your dream companies on LinkedIn and connecting with them. So we're going to talk about that. But from a face value, you know, your profile, do you have any tips for that, Michelle?
Well, I first would say, even if you're not in Canada yet, change your location over to the location you're going to be at. So when recruiters are going on there, they can find you with that location. And there's also a section in there that says open to work. So if you go to your profile, it will say open to, and you can click that and you can put in a little note attached to your profile about the opportunity that you're looking for. And you have the option to let everybody know. And I'm sure you've seen that green banner that's across people's pictures. So that tells your whole network. But if you want to be a little bit more secretive and maybe you haven't told your employer about your move yet, you could change it to just be hidden. And it will only be for recruiters who are using the LinkedIn recruiter tool. So just my piece of advice as far as LinkedIn goes, I'll give a bit of a context of how recruiters use it. So recruiters will use a tool called LinkedIn Recruiter, and it's like a professional database where when they're looking for a certain position, they're going to use some keywords to find profiles to contact people. So your foundation to your profile should first be around figuring out what keywords do I need to have in my profile so I'm found for the opportunities that I want. Because when recruiters go in, they're going to type in job titles and or skills plus location, and that will give them the list. They have a bunch of other filters as well. So one of them is being, are they open to work? So we mentioned that. If they are looking to hire for a position, they needed someone like yesterday, they may use that filter so they can bring up those profiles of people who are looking for a job right away. So keep that in mind. And as far as what keywords to include, I would say try to grab like 15 to 20 job postings that you'd be interested in. Look through and try to find any common words that come up, because those are going to be the keywords that recruiters are looking for. And you want to make sure that you're kind of infusing that throughout your profile. Before you go out and network, it's important to first have your profile ready and then go out and network.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that's a great place to show who you are. Again, with that personal branding, you know, you have that cover photo that you can design. I mean, get a Canva account, C-A-N-V-A. Everyone knows Canva now. It's free. You can create it. And there's templates. You can just pull a template, change the colors in the photos and give it a little bit of you and have that cover photo there and your profile picture. Make that really professional with a clean background, well lit, good quality. Very obvious things, but just make your profile look really slick. Make that bio full of those keywords that the recruiter would be typing in to find you. Now we're going to dive into how to really use LinkedIn for networking, because I love this slide. This percentage might even be higher now. I don't know, but it is who you know in Canada. 85% of available positions are filled by someone in the hiring manager or recruiter's network. So that's huge. So you're thinking, okay, I'm applying on Indeed, or I'm putting my resume in on a LinkedIn job that I find and I'm not hearing back. This is why. It's because the people that are hiring are looking at their existing network, or they're using their existing network to find their employee, to find the person to hire. So networking is so important in Canada. It's a huge part of building your career. And it isn't enough. It isn't enough to just send your resume out to job postings on these job search sites. So networking tips.
That was a really good introduction. And I would say too, like when we look at that, you know, how they're hiring, and we're looking at the applicant tracking system and 250 applications go through, even if they have someone in mind that's in their network, they're still putting it out there. And I know that sucks, but it kind of is the truth. There's been times I've applied to a position and then someone who worked in the company ended up getting the job. Sometimes that does happen, but we want to make sure that we are doing all we can, what we have control of. And what we have control of is networking and who we're networking with, right? So this is a really important part. And a lot of times when people are job searching, they're doing more of a passive job search. So that means they are just relying on job boards. They see a job, I apply. But we need to get into the part that we're doing more of a proactive job search. And that's where networking comes in. And so we want to kind of use both tools at the same time. So networking and relying on job boards. But I'd say spend about 75% of your time in the networking part for sure, because you can see how important it is with that 85%. We want to be in there, because by the time it hits the job board, now we've opened that like competition up with so many people, and we want to be able to start moving our way in there before it even gets onto the job board. Okay. So I first want to say that, you know, a lot of these questions that were coming in on the app that you sent me over there, try to look at it as almost like a two for one when you're networking. So you also want to be making friends. You don't necessarily have to go to business related events to be networking. Go and find friends and then just bring that in conversation. Like there, you don't have to do it in a cringy way, but you can say, yeah, I just moved to Canada from here and I'm looking for a job in this area. And we want to make sure now we know the exact kind of job that we want, just putting it in conversation. And then, you know, you never know where that conversation is going to go to. You'll probably make better connections professional wise when you're going and just trying to meet friends, honestly. So try to think of it from that way. Are there like different clubs that I can join? Maybe there's a group of people who do cold plunges and I can meet with them and, you know, start conversation, and those could be networking opportunities. So now you're building your professional and your personal at the same time. My second piece of advice is that you want to make a list of about 10 or 15 employers that you'd really like to work for. Once we have that list, we can then go on to LinkedIn and try to find 3 employees from that organization and start connecting with them. So, you know, having those virtual coffees, I think I saw that as one of the questions. And you can start having conversations with them. This is going to help narrow your idea of networking, because when we hear networking, to me, before I learned any strategies, I thought I could be here for a lifetime trying to figure out who I'm networking with. We don't have a lot of time, so we want to figure out the best strategy, right? So if we come up with this list of employers that we would love to work for, that's in proximity to where we want to be driving, are hiring for the type of position that I have, maybe not necessarily at the moment, but they do employ that certain position that you're looking for, that can make things a lot easier. And to come up with that list, you can look at the Chamber of Commerce. I'm going to just type this in the chat, Chamber of Commerce. So essentially, this is an organization of businesses that are in the community, and they use it for networking purposes, like business to business. But how it's helpful for a job seeker, if you find, let's say, Toronto Chamber of Commerce, they'll have a directory on their website divided by different industries, and you can look through and start doing your research of employers that you can reach out to.
Great. And Ravi, you just made a fantastic point. The Canadian work experience, that is the buzzword that we hear again and again. And as a newcomer, we hear it again and again. It's so frustrating. You think, well, I always used to joke when I moved here, it's like, I don't have Canadian work experience. I need you to give me a job so that I can get Canadian work experience. But then they're saying you don't have Canadian work experience, so we can't hire you. So you just feel like you're stuck in this absolute impossible situation where you're just, there's no way you can get the work experience because no one's hiring you because you don't have it. So yes, it's a very real thing. But also I will say that you can get experience by networking, by volunteering, by creating that brand for yourself, no matter what industry you're in. You know, you can go on LinkedIn, you can start posting about your industry, about things in the news that have happened, about your past. You know, if you have a story from a previous employer, I would say just putting yourself out there is so important for Canada, because honestly, the last 3 jobs that I've had in Canada, they've all been directly from doing that, which is, it's crazy. I've had no Canadian work experience, but they've seen me and they've seen that I'm an authority in that field that I've chosen. And then they approach me and they say, you know, oh, are you interested in working for us for this? Mm-hmm. Or they want to you know, connect with me, and then things kind of snowball from there. So I always like to kind of shift that mindset a little bit. How can you get work experience or experience in your field in Canada? And that's online, that's building that identity for yourself online, and putting your skills out in a different way than just applying for jobs and hoping that someone hires you. How can you showcase the skills that you have, no matter what you're doing? Whether it's a blog or you're hosting an event, go on meetup.com and host your own event in Toronto and ask people in IT to come and meet you, or go on Eventbrite and do the same thing. There's ways that you have to kind of think out of the box in Canada sometimes and say, right, networking, how can I show my skills, attract people to me, build those connections in Canada? And it's a huge, overwhelming task, but you can just chip away at it, you know, day by day, you know, task by task. That's made a huge difference for me in my career because, yeah, like I said, I wanted to work in Toronto. It couldn't happen. So then I was in rural Ontario and I had to pivot and I had to show my skills online, and then it's kind of gone from there. So that's kind of my little pet talk.
I like all of those pieces that you gave because it really kind of shows your thought leadership, shows your brand, and you expand kind of your reach online. But this Canadian experience to me is one of those things that are like the soapbox for me, like things that I'm really, it's a way that employers are just being sneaky, I feel like. So to me, when I hear Canadian work experience, that's a red flag for you. Like, I would never want to work for a company that gave that information. Like, I would just, thank you for telling me, showing me your true colors now and move on. There's not a position, there's not many positions that truly need Canadian work experience. It is uneducated employers who are giving that information. I could see it more if you're in sales, and sometimes we need to be having a Canadian network so we're reaching out and making those sales. Or it could have to be with like equivalency for medical, for example. But on average, the Canadian work experience is not really a thing. Discrimination, I think I just said there, that's it's discrimination. And there isn't really anything for it right now, but down the pipeline, this is going to be a thing that employers are not going to be able to say. Because if you can come here and you have the skills, I'm telling you, by going to get a job at the dollar store or Walmart is not going to really be better suiting you, because what, now you have Canadian work experience? It's still something we still will face as job seekers, but to me, see that as a red flag and being like, thank you for telling me that now, because it probably would be not a very good place to work for, in my opinion. And feel free to tell me if any employers who say that to you, because I like to have a list of these companies that say that, because it's not right.
Yeah, that's so true. And it's so frustrating. But I also think it's maybe just a crutch too. That's not the real reason that they're saying they're not hiring you. Maybe there was something wrong with your application, or not wrong, but not suitable for that position, or they went with someone else. But it's just an easy thing for them to say because they're too scared to give like the real feedback of why they didn't hire you. And it's just an easy thing to be like, oh, you don't have any Canadian work experience, and that's why. Yeah, conscious of the time. So I'm going to skip on and then we will run over. I know you guys are on your lunch break, some of you, but I'm happy to stay a little bit longer if Michelle is, and we can continue at the end. But I do want to make sure that we're going to cover the support network, because I know that this is the second biggest struggle that newcomers to Canada face. And it's so huge. You know, we've uprooted everything we know. We've moved to a brand new country. We have no friends and maybe even no family here either. And it can really hit us like a ton of bricks, and it can take a while. You know, you have that honeymoon phase at the beginning, and then for me personally, it was maybe a year and a half that I'd lived in Canada, and I realized that I really wasn't happy. I was lonely. I didn't have any meaningful friendships. I found it really hard to connect with Canadians. And I hear these messages again and again from the newcomers that I have on the podcast, that I meet with every day. And so it's a real struggle. So it's important to address, because it's not spoken about enough. You know, we don't want to talk online vulnerably and honestly about our mental wellness and all of that. And we don't know we need the help until you're struggling with it. So it can be hard, but I did want to just spend some time on it, because if you're pre-arrival, it's really important to know what to expect as well. When you're going into Canada, you may face these emotions, and it's totally normal. It took me so long to accept that it's totally normal. It's a normal part of the process. So here are some of the things that you could experience. Maybe you don't experience any of it, and that's fantastic. But I did want to make sure that everyone knows it's totally normal if you're feeling any of these things, that I've been there. A lot of internationals that move here have felt the same as well. And yeah, to just give yourself some grace, because it's a huge thing that you've done. And yeah, self-sabotaging behaviors. Now, these are huge. I did all of these things, and I really want to communicate them and spread them far and wide, because it's so avoidable. You really sabotage the whole experience for ourselves. We've moved to Canada. We've put the work in. We're so excited. There was a reason why we chose Canada and the reason why we wanted to move here. And we sometimes forget that, and we let all these other behaviors creep in. That is really making you suffer, unfortunately. So it's good to stamp them out if you do recognize this in yourself. So comparison, I would compare everything to the UK. You know, whether it's the drivers on the road or the supermarket prices or the way that people make friends or the way the workplace is run. Comparison is a killer. You know, it's not your native country. It's a different country. The way they do things is the way they do things, and it's not going to change. So if you're finding yourself comparing, it's really hard to just stop, but just recognize that that's a self-sabotaging behavior and to try and find the positives in things instead. Only spending time with people from your home country. So this is a key one if you're living in big cities like Toronto, for example. I've had so many people on the podcast say this. You know, if you're from Brazil, you can find that Brazilian community in Toronto. And then what happens is your life just looks exactly the same as what it did back in Brazil. You're hanging out with Brazilians, you're watching the same movies, and you're laughing with the same people. So try and integrate with Canadians in the community, attend events and join clubs and go in Facebook groups. And, you know, there's so many things that you can do to try and meet Canadians and yeah, just adjust and integrate into the community around you. It's fantastic. You know, you're going to get that comfort from hanging out with people from your home country, but try and limit that and try and also prioritize being Canadian and enjoying the culture that you've adopted in a new country. Putting too much pressure on yourself to build this instantly perfect life. This was probably the biggest one for me. I don't understand how these deadlines come. You know, if you're thinking, oh, I've been here a year and my job sucks, you know, I'm a failure, or I haven't made any amazing friends and I've been here 3 months, 6 months. These deadlines are completely fabricated by yourself, and everyone's journey is so unique. You know, it could take you a year to make one really good friend. That's totally fine. To beat yourself up on the fact that it's taken you a year it just doesn't make any sense. And I did it all the time. And yeah, just stop doing that if you're doing that, because it's just not fair on yourself. It takes so long to build a new life. And if you're comparing your friendships that you had back in your home country to the people that you're meeting in Canada, those friendships back home, you spent years and years and years, maybe even decades building. So, you know, you're not just going to miraculously have the same level, the deep connections straight out of the gate. It takes time. So you need patience and you need to give yourself some grace. And comparing your experience to other newcomers or people on social media or all of these things, everything can look so perfect. Everyone has it all together. People are earning so much money in their IT careers, or, you know, you have these people that have made so many friends. You don't know what people are going through. Everyone's journey is, they have their own timeline that they're on, and yours is unique to you. So yeah, it's tough. It's really hard. If you hit a plateau and you feel like you're feeling any of those emotions in the slide previous to this one, just know it's normal and it's part of the journey. And you do come out the other side. It gets better. I've been here 7 years and I have a great friendship group now. And I did want to touch on how I did that. So I think I had a picture of myself. Oh, here we go. So my paddleboarding on the right, I did just want to tell you a quick story very quickly, I promise. But I found myself lonely. I didn't have any friends in my local town. And this is just an example of something that you can do, is I went on Facebook and I found a local Facebook group. So for me, it was Port Perry Bulletin or whatever it's called. And I feel like every town in Canada or city, they have these groups for the neighborhoods and things. And I posted in that group and I said, hey, I'm really into stand-up paddleboarding. Does anyone want to meet me on Wednesday and go paddleboarding? So that might panic you. It's outside of your comfort zone. But yeah, you can do it. You've already come as far as moving to a new country. This is just that one extra step. Attend that event, put yourself out there on a Facebook group and create, again, it's like that career advice. You know, what can you do to create opportunities for yourself, meet the right people? It's effort on your part. And so I did that. And then I created this little paddleboarding group and I had like 20 people coming once a week. We would go out on the lake and I made some really great friends that way. Another great thing to know is that, you know, you meet one person, that person has another person that is similar to them and you kind of domino from there and you can create your support network slowly. So I hope this kind of helps you. It just puts it into a bit of perspective. It's so sad when you have these emotions that are affecting the adventure that you were so excited to go on. I talk about these things again and again on the podcast and on Instagram. But these are some of the lessons that I've learned since being here from my emotional health. It's normal. Forget the deadlines. It's an amazing achievement. Give yourself some, you know, some celebration for how far you've come. Don't compare to your home country. You can't control everything. It is what it is. And ride with it and it will get better. And everyone's timeline is different. So I kind of rushed through that, but I hope that kind of helps for anyone that's struggling.
Now, as promised, I do really want to take some time to chat about the New to Canada Academy. I hope that you found today's episode helpful. Please reach out to me on Instagram at the Newcomer Collective if you have any questions at all that have come up today. So the New to Canada Academy, this is the resource that I've put together that I wish I had when I first moved to Canada in 2017. There are so many blog posts, YouTube videos, Facebook groups out there covering all sorts of information and you can just drown in all of it. So I wanted to collect everything together in one place for people looking to move to Canada, people already here, everything you need to know about building a life in Canada that you love. So you have access to five wonderful mentors, myself, a relocation expert, a career strategist, an expat psychologist, and a real estate agent. I'm also introducing you to a labor and delivery nurse very soon who will talk about pregnancy and starting a family here in Canada as well. These online lessons are packed with so much advice and extra resources, sending you to the correct government websites. You really just have that peace of mind that you've got all the trusted info that you need for every area of your new life in Canada. So what's included? Over 25 videos packed with expert advice, lifetime access. You can learn from your mentors in any order at your own pace. We cover pre-arrival preparation, the logistics or life admin of setting up your new life in Canada, you know, finances, healthcare, taxes, all the things, a deeper dive into career and social life building. If you've loved this episode, we really go further into all of that. The Canadian culture and lifestyle to expect, how to deal with the winters and all of that, as well as the all-important mental wellness support as well. You'll also be able to join our private community of internationals living in Canada. You know, knowing that you're not alone is key. There is nothing more valuable than hearing from others who are on the same journey as you. Myself and the mentors also host live Q&As and other events so you can always get the support you need. And you'll receive a free copy of the Newcomer Collective Journal, my 5-year memory book to fill with your experiences and create a special keepsake. One of the Academy members, Ashley from Australia, said that joining us brought a peace to her immigration experience. And wow, that honestly was the best feedback I could ever wish to receive. You know, that's my ultimate goal. There is no reason for you to struggle like I did, like a lot of newcomers do. I want to make your move to Canada as peaceful and enjoyable as possible. So if you'd like to join us, you can head to thenewcomercollective.com/academy to get instant access to the video course, community, live events, and journal. That's thenewcomercollective.com/academy. The Academy is priced at $197 Canadian dollars, but as a thank you for listening today, I want to take $50 off for you. So bringing that total to only $147, you can use the code podcast50 at checkout. That's promo code podcast50, podcast50, to save $50. And this will only be available for the next 14 days. So get on it, and I cannot wait to see you inside. I'll see you in the next episode. Thank you so, so much for listening. It would mean the world to me if you could leave the show a quick review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening from. And if you're loving the show so far, recommend us to your friends. Spread word and help us grow this exciting community. Until next time.